until the ring comes in, and then why you mess up? Why you mess it up?
I jumped the gun.
You would think that since we're up to Take It Personal number 8, you would notice these by now. All right, I'm cutting the music. Jesus Christ. Hey, Dan. That's the washing machine's on in the back. What's going on?
What's up, fella?
I don't understand our building with this cable thing. I don't understand. We have to use a different kind of cable thing. We just had some strange man in our fucking house. I don't know who this guy is.
Please.
There's always some different... We live in a... I just want to say we live in a beautiful building. We live in a very nice building.
It's a nice
People
building.
People would love to be in this building. We are extremely blessed. We're blessed to the B-L-E-S-S-E-D. So it's the problems of the people that are really successful. But since people like when we vent, I'm going to vent. I don't understand this satellite shit we have in this building. We've never had good service. My HD is always shoddy. Now I got to go through a whole new fucking company to set my cable up. He wants to make a direct sale. I can't just go through a technician. Now I got to take time off and be in my fucking house. It's all a big fucking blur and a mystery because the bad part of our building is that the door people are horrible. The doorman of service is terrible. And these other little perks and quirks and the way things get done in this fucking building make no sense. And then we don't have no patience to go to the fucking in-building staff meetings with all the idiots that work in this building and vote and proxy, and they get nothing done anyhow, and they elect stupid people to be part of the damn building.
You sound a little bit about, like Funkmaster Flex on R. Kelly.
Like, Funkmaster Flex really on what?
On R. Kelly. Oh.
I don't like it, fam. I'm not going to rock with the cable, fam, in our building. It doesn't rock. Yeah, it's just you don't understand it either. It's like calligraphy. They're trying to figure out how
is
to get
like
things done effectively.
Please.
How to get things done in this building is bananas.
I'm going
just had this strange man named Sam. I already got Sam. I got a strange man named Sam in my house already. Now I got another one. Sam just left. The other Sam. We got Sam here. It's Saturday. It's 1 o'clock. We had Sam come by a little earlier. I have an appointment. I got to shoot some press thing to promote Rap Radar in a couple of hours or so. Sam, you need to know. Let us know when we're at the 45-minute mark. And I still add to it because rolled off with this cable. Like, no one calls you.
You know
I don't understand.
Would be nice, though? You know what would be nice?
It's ring your fucking bell.
Do you know what would be nice?
To take a breath?
Yes, baby. Deep breath. A deep breath would be nice.
A dog woke up. The dog was chewing wood. Talk about the dog. We got by a chew toy. Unless it's a chew toy with food, she doesn't eat the shit. She doesn't want to play with a little rubber thing. I mess with it. If it's not food, she doesn't eat it. We catch her eating a fucking wood spoon this morning. She's going to get sick. All she wants to eat is food. She eats 8 million different things. She knocks it out in 2 seconds.
Isn't that all you want to eat food? I don't know why that's crazy for Rose. Like, why is that bad for her?
She's out of control. She's chewing wood spoons and all this other stuff. I'm about to send her butt down south. You know how you send dogs down south to your cousin and let them run in the field? About to send it down. I'm gonna find a cousin down south. I'm about to send her down south so she can go stay with somebody's auntie or cousin and go run right in the fields.
If anybody's gonna be out down south running in the fields, it's gonna be somebody named Elliot Wilson. This is about to happen.
All right, I'm done. What's going on with you, babe? Saturday afternoon. What's going on with you?
I'm psyched because Flo Rida's back. You heard?
Oh. Where's this hurt song?
I told you.
This song is worse than the other
everybody.
One.
This song Flo Rida is a killer.
This song is worse
than
the last
one.
This song is
even
worse
than
the last one.
Even at Twitter, they hit me up saying, Danny Dan, looky here. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Flo Rida just cannot make a hit. Cannot not make a
hit.
He's
bigger than Eminem out here. He's bigger than
50
Cent.
Oh, hey, easy.
He's bigger than Dr. Dre. He's bigger than Kanye.
This song, this pop shit. I was in Cali. I didn't even know what this was, and they were playing it 8 million times.
Silence, silence. Let the man speak.
That's not him speaking. I heard this was in Wedding Singer, too, right?
Please let him sing. Let him do his thing. See, the whole thing is, that's what I was about to say. If anybody thinks Flo Rida didn't break into Nelly's house post-midnight and steal his career, please!
I said Flo Rida won't stop rocking until Nelly retires.
Wow.
It's not nice, man. Can Nelly live?
Flo Rida.
But that was in Wedding Singer, that song? Because it's a weird 80s pop song. Sam, you can chime in. What's the song? I put a link. I don't know what it is. Yeah. And he sings it in Wedding Singer? Wedding Singer? Adam Sandler sings it in there. That's probably how Flo Rida knows about it. He was drunk watching cable one night. He's like, wait a minute. This is the essence of my next pop mega smash.
Still, I note the sarcasm in your voice.
I guess it's a record. He makes a big club record. It's a crossover record. It's Z100. It's Z100. It's not Hot 97. I was in California and they were playing that shit. Everybody knows that
if it's not being played on Hot 97, well, then it's not a real song. Easy. Yawn.
It's your boy Ebro. Shout out to your boy Ebro.
Shout out to Ebro. The Bay Area is always on top. I'm just saying.
Yeah, the Bay Area runs Hot 97. That's the conspiracy.
Let's talk about it.
That's a conspiracy.
The Bay runs everything.
The Yay Area has got their hands.
The Bay runs Hot 97. It's that the Bay runs everything.
The Yay Area got his hands in the Big Apple.
Always, always.
The quiet hands of Ebro, darn.
Exactly. It's a real Bay Area mafia in New York City media industry. New York City music industry.
Yeah, all of two people, you and Ebro.
That's not true.
Oh, Sway, too. This is Sway. Sway's in the house. Sway runs Viacom. So you guys have infiltrated.
This is the thing. The whole thing is you don't even know where we are. We move in silence. We move in silence.
It's that Panther movement, which you learned from the Panthers and all, how to maneuver.
Oaktown, all day town business. Shout out to Shakir Stewart, too, one of our fallen soldiers. R.I.P. Don't hate.
Oh, man, I hear you.
Don't hate.
All right, Sister Davis over there. It's all good. You put your fist down? It's still early.
Whatever, I'm just saying. Just because you don't ride for Queens like I ride for Oakland.
I ride for Queens. You know, Big Seth.
You really
Big Seth sent some article. It pissed me off. Your man Big Seth from the industry co-signed.
Shout out to Big Seth.
He sent some article mad about something, wrote in some newspaper about the Queens-Bronx argument. I guess he's from the Bronx or something. He's from Harlem. He always wants to rep that. Yeah, you're damn right it's about Queens or Brooklyn hip-hop. But it's definitely more about Queens because we have all the success stories. From the 50s to the Run DMCs to
LL's. Never, babe. I claim Brooklyn as
Salt
well.
And Peppers.
As MC Light says.
The big winners are from Queens, baby.
Kids who live from Brooklyn know just what I'm talking about. Okay? All right? Okay?
All right. Okay, okay. Whatever. Queens has the big stars. Queens.
I have a Twitter question. Somebody from Twitter.
Are we jumping to Twitter questions? You won't break any
format. I'm tired of you running the podcast because you're too chatty.
Twitter questions.
You're too chatty and
I'm
angry.
Too chatty?
Too chatty and angry. I'm running the podcast today. So
are you
what
calling
I'm
Audible?
Is, I'm calling Audible.
Oh, we're headed nowhere today with this.
Seriously. Calling an Audible. Oh, a shout out to GC Sounds. And he has.
See, I should have not told people to send queries to both of us. See, now you get some power. You get some queries.
Exactly.
Sent.
It's incredible.
And now here you go.
It's incredible. Landing. You're always trying to boss up. Can I live out here? Can I be me?
Can you be LA?
Can I be
Babyface?
Exactly.
Yo, why can't I do
Jimmy
comparison?
Jam? Can you be Jimmy Jam?
I do comparison, Sam. We talk about how in partnerships, there's always that one. Kind of more businessy, kind of bossy kind of guy. And the one that's like the creative one that just let me sit in the corner and write a song. So as much as me and Danny are bosses in our outside life, so most times in the Danielia world, we tend to play the role where I'm the asshole business manager guy.
Is that how it breaks
And you're
down?
The creative one that just needs to be left alone with some candles
exactly.
and a piano.
Exactly.
And you'll write some hit records.
Even for the podcast, he always knocks on the bedroom door like, Miss Ross, are you ready?
You go in there and lock yourself in, Sam knows. You do your little premeditation in there. Sam, Danielle's
Ms.
not ready.
Ross,
Sam, Danielle needs 5 minutes. she'll be out in a second. She's powdering her nose, Sam. Be patient.
So anyway, baby face for the day.
I don't like being
the
baby
The question
face.
Is from GC Sound. And he says, have either of you scooped the other on a story and how bitter was it?
Have we?
I don't think
scoop
so.
Scoop the other one on a story.
Well, I know for one, you haven't scooped me on S-H-Y-T-E.
Shite?
Yes.
That's not nice.
Yes.
Why you gotta be so mean?
I'm just saying, have you scooped me on something?
I scoop you. I guess they're referring to the era where we were both editors of national magazines. Is that what people would?
I think so.
Babe. I think we both were tight when the other one did a cover before us. I mean, what was the best? I think I won more than you did, right?
Won what?
The covers of what we wanted at the same time. I think I won more than you,
did
slightly.
Did you?
Why are you trying to pretend like you don't know? We've went over this once before. I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but we went over this.
Clearly, at GC Sound wants you to rehash it.
I mean, we fought over the 50s and the Kanyes and the TIs, and I think that I had a slight edge. But we were always mad
did
if somebody
you?
Went a month before the other one, but we followed each other at times. We never went head to head.
Yeah, because I hate to follow anybody, and so does Elliot hate to follow
yeah.
anybody.
So there's times when we did have to follow somebody, but I think that there were times when we both were going for some at the same time, and I think that I slightly got it more than you did. But it wasn't about scooping anybody to a story.
Oh, well.
I don't even remember anymore. But if you go back, I'm pretty sure.
So what we're telling at GC Sound is that it was bitter, and it's too bitter for us to discuss.
you're acting misobjective, and you're not going back and recounting everything. You're still at least you're still at least in vibe. Your memory's better than mine in terms of the day to day, whatever. You can go look at the vibe wall.
The way I look at it is, I believe in revisionist history, babe. I always won. That's how I look at it.
No, but he's talking about scooping somebody to the story. What's about scooping anybody to the story?
It's all about just negotiating the covers.
Like you revealed Rick Ross as a correctional officer before I did. It wasn't none of that. It was just like battles over who does the big rapper first, who does Jay, who does 50, who does Kanye.
Yeah.
Who does T.I.?
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I think maybe Wayne.
Yeah.
So there were times when we did it at different times. There were times when around the record, I went first or Danielle went first. And in the worst case, we had to follow each other. So it kind of evened out, I think. I don't think it ended up being about that. What? Or I won, pretty much, as you clearly.
I'm going to let you have that. Anyone who's listening to this. I know it makes you feel toasty inside.
Anyone who's listening to this that knows you. Knows that I really won. Because if you really did win, you would really break it all down on why you won.
Babe, I don't feel the need to boast about all my accomplishments, babe. That's you, babe, Mr. Boastalos. That's you.
I don't want to boast about that because that's past accomplishments. I'd rather boast about the great work I'm doing and getting Rap Radar ready for March 9th.
Here's Elliot Wilson staying
Rap Radar
on message.
March 9th. You know I'm doing a panel on Monday? I didn't even tell you this shit. Some kind of panel.
You just out here doing panels I don't know
Ice
about?
Ice Media is doing it. I think that's my man Jermaine Hall's lovely wife.
Shout out to Jermaine.
There's some panel. Eric Parker from the Parker Report.
That's nice.
I don't know if he's going to pack his gavel.
Holla.
He's the moderator. Pause. I put a pause there. He's going to be the moderator. And it's some kind of panel that already existed. And I'm a last minute entry. My publicist got me on there. And I'm going to be a panel on Monday.
What are you going to talk about?
That's a good question. I think there was some kind of thing about racism and the business, and it's something about some people took a poll already, so it's kind of like us talking about the results. Yeah, us talking about the results and stuff like that.
Are you going to have all this information prior to being on the panel?
No, I do. I'm just freestyling it. I just wanted to tell you I was being on the panel because I didn't know what it was.
I mean, that's nice. Where is it?
It's called Ice Media The Loop. It goes down on Monday.
At what location?
I'm not giving the address out all crazy up here.
Why? Don't you want people to come
see
it?
It's a journalism and color roundtable.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they're inviting people. The bulk of the discussion was based on the results of the survey about journalists of color survey. The survey was taken by 552 journalists across the country on their views on the media, race, and newsroom practices during election 2008. This sounds some real Sam Danielle shit. I might actually have some Monday night football appointment, even though football doesn't go on right now.
If there's no location, it's not a panel discussion. It's like some people going out to dinner.
It's at 415 West Broadway.
Holler.
In suite 2N. So I don't know if it's open to the public. That's what I'm saying.
So again, is it a panel discussion or are you guys just hanging out?
It's a round table. Reception and then a round table.
Oh, fancy.
And it's being filmed by
that's nice. Slow down, Al.
Loop 21 or something.
We're gonna have to get that hair right, aren't we, for that day? We're gonna have to work that out.
My hair is it's perfect. The loop is something that's taping it. I think.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Why did I even bring this up? I don't know, because I'm in Rap Radar mode.
Because you're actually very excited about being on the panel and you hate to admit it to yourself.
I'm very excited about schlepping Rap Radar right now. Just
that's
really
stop being so sarcastic. The whole thing is, you try to act
which
so
is coming
cynical.
On March 9th.
You try to act so cynical, but in your little dried up, sun-dried tomato of a heart that you have inside of you.
Why does it all have...
You are very excited about being on the panel.
I really am not.
That's not true.
You know I'm not.
It's not true.
I don't know why you're real phony baloney in the first, 10, 15 minutes
of
this podcast.
I'm so not phony baloney. You know what I'm
feeling?
You know
I won the magazine battles.
I'm feeling very expressive and forthcoming, actually. That's why I feel comfortable telling the world that you are excited.
I got you with Jay during the battles. He was mad at me about that.
Oh, we're going back? You got something for me? Oh, you got something for me?
With Jay.
You got me with Jay how, dear?
I beat you with Jay.
Did you beat me?
I got you. I got Jay.
You talking about that cover with the hurt hood and all that?
The hood and the glasses. You were there for the hood? The glasses? The Louis?
I remember the glasses with the Louis. Oh, are you talking about the one where...
No cover lines? I don't think you ever did no cover lines. No
man.
Cover lines?
I don't know. The only thing I can think about is my 15th anniversary issue with Jay on three.
Who did the story?
Different covers. I'm just saying.
Who did the story?
I had to extend the hand, babe. You know what I'm saying? exactly. I had to extend the hand, babe. You know
I'm
what
in
I'm saying?
A lifeboat. Help me up.
I mean, I know you're a killer out here, babe. You know what I'm saying? I know you're number one out here. I'm just saying, babe. I'm just saying, when people really think of iconic Jay covers, babe, though, I really think when you think of iconic J cover. I think it is the I Am Legend Vibe 15th anniversary like cover, but that's just
the J-Nas
me,
battle. I won the battle, but you won the war.
Exactly, babe. You know what Mason brings, babe. You know what Mason Brady said, babe. Sitting on top of the world, babe. Sitting on top of the world with God. That J cover.
And it was a great issue, but I just want to know who the wonderful journalist who wrote the cover story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's appearing at the Ice Media Journalist of Color Roundtable.
See how excited you are? You can tell because you like saying it again because you actually are excited about being
panel,
on the panel.
Some, no, I did. You know, I did do.
You have enthusiasm.
You on TV Raps? I did some kind of panel. You
see,
on TV
you
Raps
like being on a panel.
Freddie
you do.
Fabulous. And
embrace it.
Sway and Nelson George.
See, look at you. You remember everybody there.
Yeah, do the heavyweight thing.
That's what I'm saying. So stop acting like you're not excited to be on the panel.
Nothing ever gets accomplished in a panel. Can we tell the kids the truth? Nothing. Other than contacts. Other than at the end of it.
So something
you
does
meet
get
somebody,
accomplished.
Yeah, but not during the actual panel. The panel accomplishes nothing.
The panel is rife with the internal politics of the panelists. That's why.
It's rife with the internal politics of the panelists.
Yes.
And that means there's no
meaning that everybody on the panel. People like each other. They don't like each other. They have quiet beef. They have old beef. They admire each other or they don't.
I got some cool as hell.
So it's always about that.
I got some
hush little
baby beef.
People feeling like, should this person be on the panel with me? Should this person not be on
the
panel with me?
It really lives and dies with the moderator, I think.
And the moderator, who's moderating this one that you're on?
No, I think it might be good. Eric Parker's moderator.
Oh, so Eric will be good. Yeah, that's not an issue. But you know what I'm talking about. The panel discussion is always... And I always feel like it's never a discussion. It's always just the moderator
saying,
so, Mr. Wilson, can you speak on this? But it's rare that the panelists actually do discuss with each other or discuss
See,
with people
I like.
In the audience.
I'll start that up. I'll be like, blah, blah, and then you know, segue towards something, somebody else, like almost like ping pong, like hit the ball and then I'll say something that like pass the assist to.
That's what I'm saying, but people don't want to do that. It's like an all-star game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, give the rock up.
Yeah.
Go to
it's like nobody wants to.
Oh, you think everybody's trying to get their shine on?
Well, no, it's not even that they want to get their shine on, but you're not on the same team really in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're not.
Do you know what I mean? You're playing on the same team for that one day, and it's like, but I'm still a Cavalier.
Nobody looks
I'm
at it that
like
you're
a...
on the same team, even though you're on the panel together. So you think it's almost like you're all brought together. To play to the audience, you should try to work together well.
Yes.
To create something interesting for the people that are out there watching it.
And not just, okay, I'm going to speak. Okay, now this person's going to speak.
That should be nice is what you're saying.
No, I don't know if you should be nice, but I think you should try to get a conversation actually started among the people on the panel. That makes
it
much
more
interesting.
So really it's not just up to the moderator. It's up to everybody, really.
Yes, everybody should work together so that they can win the All-Star Game.
Okay.
I think that you should be the MVP of the All-Star Game.
That's not working together, though. Can I begin every quote with "Rap Radar Mars Knife"?
If you're gonna be doing that, I'm gonna tell you right now. If you're gonna be doing that,
at the beginning, end. No, but I'll go right and stay.
But
the topic.
If you do that,
embarrass you, you will get reports
it's
back.
It's just tacky.
If people Twitter some accounts of
it's
my
tacky.
Behavior being,
it's tacky.
Wrong.
It's real puffy, but it's tacky.
You mean my double XL size Rap Radar T-shirt? I shouldn't rock that.
No, please. I got another Twitter question.
Would a buy my album postcard?
I got another Twitter question.
You're into Twitter questions? This is all
I'm
questions.
Into, I'm into
around?
Twitter questions.
It's
I
like
got
a
some,
panel here. It's
I got some Twitter
panel.
Questions. And don't hate me because I'm organized, even though I can't find a Twitter question right now. Oh, somebody wanted us
questions?
To talk about. They
we
wanted
gotta
talk us
about
to talk
Chris
about
Chris Brown and Rihanna. We gotta get serious soon. Don't forget that.
I'm trying.
We haven't talked about
Hold
that yet.
Up, Elliot.
What? I just want to remember. We haven't really waited on our. CD
I concur it really was. Oh, here we go. Wait a minute, no. Okay, I can't find it. I know somebody said, can you talk about the Oscars coming up?
Yeah, somebody with that too, because I guess your girl, Henson, what's her name? Taraji?
Taraji P. Henson, yeah.
She's up for something. So
yeah, she is.
Know.
She's up for her role
can
in.
Can she really win?
Benjamin, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen the movie, so I can't even speak on it. I haven't really seen any of the movies nominated for an Oscar.
Say, can we tell the quiet truth that we are the worst movie-going couple in
last
the movie?
Is the last movie we saw, seriously?
We do.
But then we never watch them.
I get screeners. I'm part of the Writers Guild. I get screeners. We did watch Slumdog Millionaire at the Rap Radar Mansion. I did the screening of that.
I've never seen Slumdog Millionaire.
Danielle didn't come. She snubbed us. She was busy. She was invited. Low-key comes in late,
half, like an hour into the movie.
Shout out to Loki.
Like we're like on Lexington Avenue or something. And then he had to leave anyhow because he had a date with his girlfriend. And he had to leave. So he went in and out 15
Loki
minutes.
Loki has a girlfriend?
But yeah, all these guys have secret girlfriends. Him, B-Dot, all these
well,
guys.
Well, I mean, if it's
yeah.
secret, we kind of just
well,
blew
know,
it up.
You know, they pretend they don't have a girlfriend, but they really do. That kind
oh.
of thing.
B-Dot has a girlfriend?
Huh?
B-Dot has a girlfriend?
B-Dot has a girlfriend too. Yes. Brian Miller.
Really?
Shout out to him. B-Dot trademark at Twitter.
Really?
One of my two gainful employees.
I love hearing about that. Go on, Brian.
So at the Rat Radar Mansion screening of Slumdog Millionaire, we had the Rosenthal brothers who come to anything I drove.
Shout out to It's The Real.
Karen Seville. You don't know her. She's like a publicist in the game. She graced us.
Shout out to Karen, though.
We
I haven't met her.
We needed a female
her.
There.
Yes.
And then Loki was in and out, but it was very nice. I enjoyed the movie. I saw it. So that movie won all the Golden Globes, so that movie's going
to
win everything, right?
It's the favorite to win yeah. the Oscars, and they're saying that's the problem with the Oscars this year is that it's kind of known that Slumdog is going to win. It'll be a big upset if it doesn't, and so then that doesn't make it very exciting for people to watch.
Doesn't Golden Globe always kind of serve as a spoiler
not always,
to the Oscars?
A lot. It's just no? it's, not always. What were the last movie you and I saw together, let's be real, was it Batman The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger? Let's just call it.
Did we see that in the theater?
We saw that.
No, we didn't see that in the theater.
We saw in the theater right in Brooklyn, right by Barnes & Noble.
You saw it on Court Street.
Mm-hmm.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did. You're right.
Yeah, shout out to Mary Troy. We ran into Mary in front.
That's true. Okay.
Okay, so truly,
is that
the
last
movie
we saw?
We saw together? The last movie we saw together at the theater was Batman the Dark Knight.
Why you act like I'm going on solo movie dates? Well, me and my niggas so notorious, you know what I mean? I rolled in 20 deep. I
no,
didn't go to movie
no,
either.
Because I did. I saw Notorious at a
oh, you did
screening.
See that screening, yes.
Yeah, and then you saw Notorious Bootleg.
I watched it on Mega Upload. Somebody yeah. gave me a link.
Yeah.
Even though I was missing a middle part, and I had to go back and watch it again. And
we never go
the
to the
missing
movies. It's a sad truth.
45-minute mark in the thing, and then go back and watch it
so
again.
So I don't know what to say about the Oscars, except
they're the best person
I like Taraji. Taraji has been by the offices of Vibe any number of times, and she's just a dynamic lady, so I just and talented beyond her.
So she's the shit in person too.
She's an amazing girl. Like
really?
She really is.
She lives up to the hype.
She really does.
That's cool.
She does. I smile when I say
like
her name.
She seems like a cool person. She seems like a.
She is. She's and she's just you know everyone always says she's real down to earth, but she is really down to earth, and she's just and at the same time it's like flossing in like a badass like Chanel's. Couture suit and the hair is whipped and she has those big expressive eyes and she knows how to work the eye makeup to make them even more expressive. I mean, I'm impressed.
Oh, talk about the other girl came out of Vibes. It's the shit too. Can you talk about her?
Who?
My girl from Martin back in the day.
Oh, Tashina.
Yeah,
Tashina
Pam.
Arnold.
Pam came by the Vibe.
Yeah, we have people that come by Vibe all
Pam
the time.
Pam is the shit.
Yeah, she was really cool too.
But she's from Queens.
But Taraji's
she
different.
From,
She's from Queens.
Yeah. She's actually, Pam. We got Pam.
Pam is, she was real funny, obviously. And she was great. And you forget that she's a really great singer also. But still in Adam Wright for
sing?
Taraji. Ever since, my whole thing is Taraji should have, in a fair world, Taraji should have been nominated for her role in Baby Boy. Let's be clear.
Oh, man. Who saw Baby Boy?
Baby Boy is an incredible
that
movie.
That horrific movie?
Baby Boy is an incredible
with
movie.
With Tyrese as Tupac?
Please. Please. You can hate if you want to. But the
Snoop
streets
Dogg,
know.
Like, oh, hi,
the streets
the couch.
Know. The streets know.
To, rather be
the
with
know.
You.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Baby Boy, come on.
Said I'd rather be
Taraji
with you.
Taraji stood head and shoulders above everybody else in that movie and the people
but
in
the
movie.
The movie,
movie
was
good.
Hurt. That's why
it wasn't.
Love.
What's my man name? Vin. No, that's not his name.
But Naked Cooking Eggs?
What's his name?
Ving Rhames.
Yeah, Ving Rhames.
His
come
ass
on.
Out cooking some scrambled eggs.
He's also
eggs?
Underrated. That's the whole thing about the Oscars anyway. It's always this thing of like, which black person is going to win, which Latin person is going to win, or whatever.
Racism?
Or which woman. I'm just saying, like, I'm just kind of over it. Like, in a fair world, Ving Rhames is like, Ving Rhames is George Clooney. Like, come on. It'd be for
are
real.
You serious? Come on. Now you're going too far.
Why am I going far?
Because I didn't.
George Clooney's, you know, he's a good
I
looking
seen
that
guy.
Movie
Ving Rhames
and he has
drag,
some, and
really
he has some charisma.
For-
he has some charisma, but really, is he that deep? Is he that special?
I've seen Ving Rhames as the
even
boxer.
Even though I will
in prison.
Say this, I saw Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, I have to talk about that.
Oh,
Giorgio
Fashion Week.
Armani
Fashion
Party
Week. Yeah, Fashion
for
Week.
For Fashion Week. That was.
I was trying to do a New York Post racism segue, but I guess we'll go on your Fashion Week rant. But go ahead.
No, babe, let's keep it serious.
Talk
I'll
about
tell you
the fabulousness of Fashion Week.
I'll tell you what I think about that cartoon. Yeah, it's racist. And the post apology was half assed, as I would expect.
What was the
it
apology?
Be.
I didn't even look to
it
see
was
what the apology
like,
was.
If you had a problem with it, we're sorry.
Like, yeah. A-Rod had a better policy.
It's just like, remember when gangster rappers used to say, like, I ain't calling you a bitch. If you a bitch, then you think I'm calling you a bitch. But if you ain't a bitch, you shouldn't have a problem with the song.
I ain't saying your name, Shonda. So I'm
just like, whatever. My, like, the New York Post, what do you expect?
The New York Post is such a weird... I put up the
Flavor Flav song. And to be honest, let me say for the record, I don't read it anyway.
Yeah, Flavor Flav wrote a song dissing him a while back. I put that up on Twitter, and everybody thought I was a genius. But the thing with the Post is, if you're from New York, it's always had this position where it had an incredible sports section. Peter Vesey writes a sports section for it. So, you know, I grew up in a household where my father buys all the major papers. You buy the Daily News, you buy the Post, you read his sports section first, backwards, and then you read the front, and then you read it backwards to front.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why the Post hold any kind of weight in our world. To me, in New York, because a lot of sports fans and the Post had better sports writers than the Daily News initially, but now the Daily News came up. No, but the thing with Times is it's cumbersome with the size of it and all mm-hmm. that, so it's not like it's easy to read. And it always the reputation then, you know, that it's for the upper class. You know, uh-huh. I grew up lower middle class, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing with the Post is that you start to realize the Post is really looked at as a real news source. Like, you can't Google a New York Post all crazy. Mm-mm. You can't find something. Like, it's nope. a weird position where it's backed by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox and other media. And, you know, it has the resume of, like, something that's a real news source. But it really technically isn't. And even back then, when Page 6 for it helped blow it up and build its identity, you know, you say it's a glorified tabloid. But then it functions in this way that it's sort of like this weird hybrid, because it isn't complete celebrity journalism and it's not complete tabloid, but it just isn't a real reputable news source. So you don't really expect much from it if you know that, other than it's just another rag that you read and it's a notch below the Times and the Daily News because of that, you know?
I just don't want your apology. You can have expect it. I don't ask for it. And I just don't feel like, what is it going to do for me that you apologize?
To me, the whole thing
was... What is it going to do?
I saw it later.
No, but just tell me, what is it going to do? What is it going to do?
Oh, no, you can't apologize. And well, the only thing that works for apology, anything with apology, it's about sincerity.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's not sincere.
You
want to
feel like if somebody's apologizing, they sincerely, even if they didn't realize the wrongdoing of what they did initially, they're touched by other people's reaction to it. So therefore, now they see that they question why they did it, and they feel empathy for the people that were offended. They don't feel any empathy if African Americans or people of other color are offended by that. So therefore,
they don't care if other white people are offended by it.
Yeah.
They don't care if anybody's offended by it. They did it. They had a dead monkey in the street as the author of the stimulus bill shot by cops, which to me is just...
But the other side
of it... What is the apology for that? What is the apology? That's like an apology for like kicking my 3-year-old child on the street. There's no apology for that. It's nothing you can say to me. There's nothing you can say to me that I'm going to go, oh, okay. I see. It's cool now. It's not cool now. It's not going to be cool.
But you know me. I have a little bit of a higher tolerance because, you know, I was one of the writers of the Big Book of Racism. You know, with Ego Trip, we used to call ourselves the Monkey Academy. Like, we like to have fun with stuff and be provocative a little
bit more.
Push
the envelope,
babe. I use the N-word a lot, as you know. But the thing with what saves face with that, if you want to be that kind of provocateur and you want to have fun with language and you want to take shots at all different races and don't take whatever, at the end of the day, it has to be funny. You know, you could have a racist sketch or racist thing that's offensive to people. But the bottom line, what makes it credible is if it's funny. Because in the whole point of it, it's a sketch, or in this case, it's supposed to be satire. The bottom line is when you look at that shit, it's not funny. Who's it funny to? I don't think it's funny to a white person. It's not funny to anyone. So therefore, it's just an attack. You know, it's not really satire. It's like, it's an evil, there's malice to it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Like, it's just like so I used to say about the worst kind of gangster rap. It's just like what you're saying. It's
yeah, there's
not,
no artistic
it's not
element
even good
to
enough
yeah.
to offend me. Like, it's yeah. not even good enough to offend me. Like,
exactly.
what are you rhyming about? Like, I don't even care. I'm not even going to listen to your bullshit because it's whack anyway.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
you,
I'm not even
anyone
gonna know
can say
about
I'll shoot your mother and bust you in the head.
Yeah.
But somebody could do that in an artistic, high art kind of way, and you could do it in somebody's sound
exactly.
like they just...
And also,
know,
it's just so expected. It's so expected.
It's old and tired, yeah. You know?
So in any case, yeah, I bet that. So
let's go to stay with horrible
subjects. Shout out to
subjects.
Obama, though. Shout out to President Obama.
Let's do Chris Brown, Rihanna, and then we could then go to Fashion Week.
I don't like being on a list. I thought I don't like being on an agenda like that, babe. Come
on
now.
Freestyle?
I like the freestyle. I was
you
trying
like Jay-Z? You don't
write
the rounds down,
Twitter man. Questions. Now you're trying to
we'll
hold me
back
to
Fashion Week.
A production
I stopped
schedule,
you with Fashion
babe.
Week. That's
you're
what it was.
You're trying to put me on a production schedule, babe. I don't like that. When I'm home, babe. I like to be free, babe. I like to, you know what I'm saying?
With your Women in Hip Hop t-shirt on right now.
Shout out to Women in Hip Hop.
Oh, Lord. Well, I interrupted you talking about your boy, your little new crush on Leo DiCaprio, which that's probably why I stopped. Found another cute white boy.
That's not true. I saw him.
He looked like an old race car driver when I saw him with Jay-Z at the Wale show. I didn't even recognize who he was.
You're so bitter.
But you said you saw him all dolled up at this fashion.
He wasn't dolled up, babe. It's just that I was at the.
Look at the face.
I'm just a little emotional, babe.
Oh. Danny Dan loves an innocent crush. There's not a woman on the planet that loves an innocent crush.
It's the water to my soul. Are you kidding? Like, I got an innocent crush? I have 3 different innocent crushes an hour. What are you talking about?
You love it. You live for it.
I do. It's a dream. It's a fake boyfriend. That's what I always call it. I have so many fake boyfriends. It's countless. No, you know what I'm saying?
I can get a lap dance every 20 minutes, right? Like, I'm the opposite of that.
Yes.
My thing's all physical and non, who I don't even care what you like.
He just doesn't want to know your name. I want to know your name, where you're from. Let's have a glass of wine together. But, you know, I'm married.
You miss it, don't you?
I do.
So hurt.
It's so many great things about being single.
You stay with an innocent crush. It's just disgusting.
I love it. That's all I have,
who
babe.
Who has space for that? No, they're random. It could look Leo as pale as Leo DiCaprio and as dark as Amari Stoudemire, Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett could be a
chocolate boy.
You know, it's not really good for us to talk about my fake friends.
Yeah, I've been ventilating.
Because I'm fanning myself at this
point, babe.
And
then she puts them in a rotation. Like, they lose their slots. They get taken off the list. It's like a dick clock.
Like, I used to have Amari Stoudemire on there. I cut him off.
Because of his detached retina?
It's not even that, baby. It's not even that. It's just the fact, you know, head case, man. I don't want a head case, man. I got a head case right here for you, babe.
A head case ruins your innocent crush?
Yeah, I'll do all that.
You get to really know who they are? An interview I just did is up. The Hip Hop Chronicle. My man from the UK did an interview with me.
Are you psyched, babe?
At the Rap Radar office. He just posted it.
What's the Earl? What's going on? What's the Addy?
What's with the information? I'm a journalist, babe.
I like to give the facts.
I'm literally opening it now.
All right.
I'm opening it.
It's time for you to get those braces off.
It's on YouTube.
It's time for those braces to come off.
If you go to YouTube and you look at something with the HHC, is his page. The Hip Hop Chronicle. So go to the HHC. That's in the username. Ellie Wilson interview. It's 2 parts. Oh, you used the Rockaware with the thing. Can we talk about how you bit off me with that? You did a Pepsi ad with Danielle Held the Vibe, Bite My Style. Everyone knows my classic.
I did not do a Pepsi ad.
Everyone knows my classic Rockaware ad.
There was a Black History Month calendar.
Can I set it up, please? Hey.
In the calendar.
Can we do like radio and set it up here? Hey. Everyone knows my classic Rockaware ad, 10th anniversary. I was audacious enough to put myself in the back cover as part of the Rockaware I Win, I Lose campaign. I'm holding up the Jay-Z issue, the first issue of XXL. And what did you decide to do, babe, when you was approached to do a Pepsi calendar of sorts? What would you decide to do, babe?
It was a Black History Month calendar, babe.
Pepsi?
Yes. They asked me to hold the first issue that I was editor-in-chief of it by. Because I came up with that idea. Because I'm the first female editor-in-chief of Vibe, babe.
And all praise is due to that. That's beautiful.
Not to mention the first African-American editor-in-chief of Vibe.
But you weren't the first to do this concept of what this was. Yes, it was.
So I held my first issue of Vibe.
I think with all those firsts, y'all should have came up with an original concept for you to be on this calendar.
The Kirk Franklin issue of Vibe, which everybody hated on at the time.
And it sold, right?
It sold really well.
Got your result?
Of course, yeah.
He made a joyful noise.
Kirk Franklin, Life After Death. Holla.
Who's serving my Christian brothers and sisters out here?
They came out with their man.
The tear read out.
You're so bitter. Really, the bitterness is unattractive. Because you're mad because I was holding the magazine.
No, I just looked at it. I haven't thought about it since then. But I just looked at my interview real quick. And it did a little slug of me holding the thing in the beginning.
In any case, the Giorgio Armani party was the highlight of Fashion Week. I didn't do a lot of Fashion Week stuff this
Yeah, you played it low-key, right?
Played low-key because I got a lot of stuff going on at work. And then also, you know, Fashion Week was not as
jamming
fabulous as it has been in past seasons. you could kind of see it last season changing a little bit. But, you know, the recession is here. And so there weren't as many shows. And a lot of the shows weren't as sort of flamboyant. Like, I could think of going to shows where they had, like, a full orchestra in the pit. And, I mean, just a whole lot of makeup and hair and lighting and et cetera. And it was just much more low-key this year. Yeah. But the highlight was definitely the Giorgio Armani. I don't think he had an actual show, but what he did was he used Fashion Week to launch his new store up there on 5th Avenue and maybe 5th Avenue and 49th, right on this.
Yeah. The Puffy shop?
Right up there by the...
Don't Puffy got a shop down there next to Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all that?
Right up there by the Gucci store.
Got a little spot there?
It's in the spot that the Hugo Boss store used to be in.
Okay.
So Hugo Boss ain't moving good out here right now?
Hugo Boss is struggling.
Shout out to Hugo Boss.
That party. Yeah, up, doggy. And you know, I go to a lot of nice parties. That was a party.
So he was like, fuck a recession. He just had the champagne popping.
I mean, I guess
popping.
He's got those euros. He's not really tripping. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you told me he said hi to you, right? He did the gangster hello to you. What did he say to you again? He just...
Babe, please, I'm not trying to put out my personal conversations with me and Mr. Armani, babe. Me and Mr. Armani are private conversations, babe.
He's not an innocent crush, is he? Please,
he
babe.
Really
please
isn't. He's a little old for Danny Dan, but he's a classy, thanks, dryer. We appreciate the fact that the clothes are dry.
Come to the front. The Kool-Aid is ready. Come to the front.
No, but it was just great, man. It was like, first of all, the store is beautiful. I don't know how many people have been to the Guggenheim Museum, but it's kind of like that on the inside. Often.
No, I'm playing. I've never been
such as, really, I gotta get
I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to museum going.
I got to get you out a little bit more, babe. Yeah.
You can just go right down to the
Shawnee
store.
Yeah. Cop me a hoodie on the way home, Sam.
I'm going to get you a Guggenheim hoodie.
Turn on me.
Get it right.
I'm going to get along with guys named Sam today. Sam, the cable guy.
And that's true, Sam. That's a true statement.
What happened with Leo? I don't understand.
Okay, so anyway, I was leaving, right, because we had to go to the Baby Fed show, and I was with Memsor, our
fashion
director.
Don't tell me Leo tried to holler at you on the way out. Like, what's up, love?
I have a very high opinion of myself, babe, but I'm not certain. Love? I'm not sure that Leo is really checking for me because there's a lot of supermodels in the room.
He's not allowed to leave his house unless
he just walked in so swaggerific. And that's a corny ass
say
word.
Say that ever again. Whatever you just said.
I will.
Can we
it's,
go back?
It's
Sam,
as
can you go back and beep that part? Our first edit in the Danielle podcast.
It's wild corny to say swaggerific, but seriously, he don't care. It. He came in. He was Armani head to toe. You know, one hand in the pocket, walking in. You know what I'm saying? No bodyguards, just chilling. Walked in, massive. The hair was just really just kind of.
Moose was right.
Oh, the moose was right.
I feel like he double hands the moose. I feel like he's a two-hand moose guy.
Yeah, he probably is, babe. He's got that little cowlick in the front.
Get the Pat Riley.
He came in. He's not sure. You know how so many movie stars are actually like shorter than you think? Not Leo.
Got a little height.
Got a little height, too. It was really, really nice.
You're not a fan of his work, though, right? I'll never hear you talk about it. Gotta go see
not really. I'm not really
Basketball
riding.
Diaries.
Yeah, I'm not really riding for Leo like that. No.
That was a good one, though.
As an actor.
Basketball Diaries crazy.
Yeah, no, I never saw that.
Our movie watching sucks. We just admit it.
I mean, the fact is, we don't
really
ever
bad.
Watch anything together except basketball.
It's because we don't have the patience to watch anything unless there's a ball involved.
Because everything, Paul every show that I like, you hate, and every show that you like, I hate.
But you don't like movies. We just don't have the time. I think that we're part of the ADD generation, and we don't have time
I'm
to
not,
commit.
I'm
two
not a
hours.
Part of the ADD generation. You're part of the ADD. That's that 5 years.
But you really sit and commit to a movie? I guess you do at times.
I commit to movies. I DVR movies all the time. Anything from HBO to American Movie Classics to, you know what I'm saying? I do it all the time. You're out here half watching wrestling while you're on the computer, switching back and forth to NBA. Maybe did MLB start yet? Blah, blah, blah,
See,
blah,
See, I
blah.
Just responded to Crystal with my assistant on email while you said that. Like...
You're so modern, babe. Yawn.
I should get a job on the internet then. I should get a job on the internet.
If you bring it back to you and that job at the internet one more time.
I feel the pressure because didn't you read me a new one last week to get my site up and
I mean, you do,
to talk about it being about it? So that's all.
Do you have any Twitter questions?
I have tons. Well, we still haven't done Chris Brown and Rihanna, but we can keep teasing it radio style.
I'm not teasing anything. I'm not guaranteeing that I'm speaking about that.
Sharpton. We talked about that. Oh, someone said, my girl Miss Hayes said, how about the lack of acknowledgement of Black History Month? We haven't really got no shine this year. What's going on with that? We got a black president. Now we can't get no Black History Month shine. What's going
on
with
that? It's a question. There's a lot of questions about that.
It's true.
I mean, I have to be honest with you.
I'm not a big fan. Can we tell the quiet truth? Black people don't like Black History Month. We don't really like all
that. They gave us the shortest month. I mean, that's the oldest joke in the world. They gave us the shortest month. Huh? Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. I don't know. People always, well, they used to, a Vibe always asks, you know, how are you guys celebrating Black History Month? And I'm like, we celebrate Black History Month every month at the Vibe. Like, what's good?
And you may not want to talk about this because it's actually one of your Oaktown natives, but talk about Usher's wife and her plastic surgery fiasco. Can women see the beauty in themselves as is? This is from Zeta Zen, Zetazen.
Oh, shout out to her. We go back and forth on Twitter all the time. Yeah, I couldn't begin to speak about Tamika's case. But, yeah,
because we don't really know the details.
But plastic
still, right?
surgery is, it's a weird topic for me because I always feel like I would never do it. But there's people in my family that have done it.
Damn. Shots fired.
So,
spots blown. No.
It kind of freaked me out when this family member of mine did it. But I'm not judgmental about it. Obviously, it's terrible, especially when things go wrong. But I'm just not judgmental of women and the things that they do to try to make themselves look better in a society that judges them completely by how they look. Yes, it would be wonderful if the world was fair and everybody just got judged, you know, equally. And it doesn't matter if your waist is a 28 or your waist is a 38. It doesn't matter if your face is symmetrical or not. But the truth of the matter is women are judged so relentlessly and harshly on their presentation. I'm not advocating plastic surgery. And I don't think, though I won't promise, Elliot, that I would never get it. But I am saying I just feel like I just resist judging women in the things that they do, except for the case of that woman that had those 8 kids, because I'm struggling with that.
I completely avoided that whole thing. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, you don't? No,
I completely avoided
that. I don't even want to give her too much more.
What did she
attention.
Do?
She had 8 children at one time, and she already had 6 children.
Ugh.
I think there is a case to be made outside of women having that many kids at one time is there are so many people with undiagnosed mental health issues. Like,
yeah,
for real.
Oh, I think everyone's crazy. I'm surprised when someone's sane. I always say everything like, we're going to meet you and see if you're a serial killer, and if you're not, we're going to hire you. That's my whole MO. Sam knows.
that woman scares me. She really does.
Yeah,
she does.
I avoided that whole thing. I didn't even pay attention to it. My man, Don't Hate, Be Hated asked you about the Flo Rida single. You love it. You think it's a 5-star.
Love it. Flo Rida, I see you, my man. And
New York
I respect
Post cartoon,
you.
Sharpton, we touched on all that.
So how do you feel about the Chris and Rihanna thing, dear?
Well, the picture came out, and you know, I mean, I have a lot of feelings about it. I mean, I think that, you know, I think the bottom line in my world is I think a man should never hit a woman, you know? Bottom line, that's the first part. Now, obviously, there are circumstances where people start hitting each other. Two humans hit each other. Two people scratch each other. You know, shit could get crazy, and then gender's out the window to a certain extent. But I think as a man, I was raised to never hit women. I could never see myself, you know, worst case, like, it's the Chris Rock joke, like, grabbing a woman, choking her, whatever, grabbing her up, shaking her, whatever. You know, choking, no. You know, slapping, you know, maybe hitting, all that stuff. Like, it just punching some woman.
Talk about this in
no,
my
punching,
life, so right
punching
now,
some,
incredible.
No, but punching someone. No, because I'm just trying to be realistic because I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. And I'm trying to say what could warrant him hitting her like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how I could defend that or how he could defend that. And I'm just saying the reality is that I could see, you know, I've never hit a woman in my entire life. I could see maybe defending myself, but he didn't defend himself if that photo is true and that's her injuries and that's how she looks. He looks like he severely beat her. And I just don't understand losing control like that where, as a man, you're hitting a woman like that. You know, I just don't see that. And I think that we all kind of kept waiting to reserve judgment. I think it's still hard for us because we want to know everything. We want to see what
that's
he looks like. We want to see his photo. Does he have scars? Does she have bruises? We want to know what happened to lead to that. We want to know everything. And then we want to weigh in with an informed opinion. You know, domestic violence is a sad reality, obviously. I've been blessed enough that
I haven't, you know, I've seen some stuff in my lifetime, but nothing with any real severity. I've never hit a woman in my life. But yeah, I try to look at things objectively and try to understand, you know, what happens. And obviously Chris Brown does come from abuse, as the evidence has shown. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of times you may not know who somebody is, and you think, oh, R&B singer, pretty boy, he's soft, or he would never do nothing like that. So you have your own preconceived judgments of people. But, you know, it's hard to defend. It's hard to defend. And it's crazy that, you know, us personally, we were at that same party. You know, mm-hmm. for that incident to happen in such a high-profile weekend,
we saw
you
know what I mean?
Like this is like Grammy weekend.
We were at
like you know, you're gonna be at Grammys tomorrow. Like when do you somebody just calm down? When does someone become the cooler head? Like you know, you have arguments and emotion. You know,
they are kids. They are 19, 20, 21 years old. They are kids. If they weren't celebrities, if they weren't two of the most famous people on the planet, they would, best case scenario, be in college as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, you forget how young
and
they really are.
And somebody, some guidance counselor or police officer would be calling their parents, and their parents would be coming in to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's horrifying, though.
Yeah, Rihanna just turned 21 the other day. You forget how young they are.
They're kids. They really are. Like, they are kids. Like, I think about, you know, my relatives who are in college, and I just look at them, and they're just, like, retarded to me, like, I'm like, whatever you say doesn't matter because you're like 20, so back up off of me. Try and tell me something about something. They're kids and their emotions run really high and
but he had to have snapped to I mean that's not
that,
one
this is the thing. I'm not so much talking about it because I just tend to you know, my background with that kind of stuff is thick. So you know, just my childhood and stuff. So As a woman, as an adult woman, I just haven't had any patience for it. And in my personal life, I find myself quick to judge a man who even finds it difficult to control his temper or finds it, you know, even emotional abuse, you know, just treating a woman consistently badly is something that I just...
Abusive in other ways. Yeah, I just
can't. I just on a personally.
No, you hold me to that because there's times when you know you could be a man could be abusive in other ways to a woman, and I think that you have zero tolerance.
I think you hold me accountable. I feel like I paid my dues from you know what I'm saying. I paid my dues from 6 to 17. I don't need no more of that shit in my life. So, but as a journalist, it's for me to collect the facts. As a journalist, it's for me to collect the fact. Personally, as a woman, as Danielle Smith Wilson, I am mortified by even the thought of, forget if it's Chris Brown or Rihanna, any violence in a couple like that of any kind, back
to
and forth,
extreme,
one or
yeah.
the other, it's just tragic. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a journalist for this particular situation, now I gotta collect facts. I just do. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the thing about the photo, the other part I think people are discussing is, you know, obviously TMZ got their hands in a photo. It looks like the type of photo that obviously the police take photos. So obviously somebody in LAPD, you know, the most reputable, you know, leaked the photo out or bought the photo, like from them.
Sold the photo, basically.
You know, and some people are saying, you know, is it the journalist's job to put that type of photo? Should that not be shared with the world? Because then the thing is, too, is like the certain aspect of it, you know, time is the best healer of things. So you start to feel less angry and upset at Chris Brown. And then all of a sudden, this photo surfaces and you're right back to where you was, like this son of a bitch.
Unfortunately,
he should die. And it's like, you're right back there.
Once the police are involved in any given situation, it's a public situation.
Yeah. But I just think also if you're a public figure, there's no way that photo's not coming out one day. You know, and I think that, you know, but then the question is, I think for us, Danny, is like, as journalists, if that was our beat, will we go out of our way to try to get that photo first, to run that photo?
Beat.
No, but I mean, if you was
a tabloid magazine.
A tabloid magazine.
We have a tabloid magazine.
Celebrity magazine. Well, no, I mean, but even on a website, I guess running a daily tabloid-driven website. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so. Where it's a day-by-day thing. No, I mean, in the competition level of it, are you out there, if you're running your version of TMZ,
You're tabloid 100%, not sometimes when you do a vibe.
Right.
You're running a website daily. You have a staff of people. Are you on the hunt for that photo too? To me, I think yes. But I think the bottom line, though, the difference in the line that gets crossed. No, let me can I get something. You can agree or disagree.
All right, go ahead.
I think the line gets crossed in the culture that we're at now, that people, they cross that line that I think me and Danielle have never crossed, and they sell shit. Like, I'll buy it. It's like you sell your celebrity baby photos. You sell it, and that's your cover. So you're, like, selling the cover. You're selling whatever. It's like, if someone's giving you that photo, you get that journalism-wise and get your hands on it, that's one thing. But you know TMZ cut a big check to get that photo. So they could watermark it.
You think
blah,
that's
blah.
Your opinion, yeah.
Yeah, I think. That's my opinion. I believe they did. So I think that in this world, in this culture, the sad part of it is that not only is whether or not you should run that photo, you can't run that photo unless you pay for that photo. So then people are holding that hostage.
But people are
so then you have this one snitch
time.
At LAPD that's like,
people are paying
it's
Brad and Angelina money for pictures of their kids.
I just said that. I'm against all that. We have never, to my knowledge, paid for any kind of content of why we would do something.
Oh, yeah, no, I know I haven't.
Yeah, so my point is that's where you run into a line, because if I was running a TMZ, and I think if you were running a TMZ, we'd want to get that photo first and see what's going on for both parties and get that photo and get the evidence. But we would lose out to someone who's going to cut that check. I wouldn't cut that check. That, to me, is a line I would never cross. And I think you would lose in that world, because that world is all about celebrating Jelena
baby.
I'll
be honest with you, though. I will be honest with you. I would not cut the check either. I don't know how much of that is based on how I actually feel about the situation. Morally, I think it's more for me about the fact that once you cut that check, then that's the road you're on.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely done. So in addition to just being like morally suspect, it's also just like a dumb business move to me. Because then you're doing that
forever. You ruin your leverage. You ruin your leverage.
Because then if you pay for the photo of Rihanna, then the next time when you're interviewing Flo Rida, and he's like, well, I hear you paying people.
Yeah.
Where's my check? Just for the interview. What's going on? You paying people for stuff? So nah.
No, that's true. That's how people know we're on up and up, because if someone said if Interscope paid me for stuff, then somebody would say whatever, and the other people would say, oh, that this is how it is, you know? Like you would be exposed. Yeah, you do leave yourself open for that. But their business is of paying for it. That's the thing. That's why TMZ breaks it first. You know, that's why they're getting it first and they're watermarking it twice and all this shit, you know, because they cut a very nice check for that, allegedly. So I don't get sued by TMZ, I guess. But nah, that's my opinion. The views of Elliot Wilson, they don't necessarily always reflect the views of Danielle Victoria Smith-Wilson.
They rarely do. They rarely do. It's a nice thing about our relationship, babe. Opposites attract, babe. Opposites
I think we're the
attract.
Same. We're pretty much the same on that issue. On Chris and Rihanna, we're pretty much on the same level. With certain different things. The sad thing is you've experienced those things a little bit more than I have. And, you know, we both don't believe in no man putting his hands on a woman.
Yeah, I just don't believe in fighting.
To that level of severity.
I just don't believe in, like, violence among people in general. Yeah. Like, I just don't believe in, like, that it gets to that point that you really
you
feel like...
You have to have some self-control.
You have to gather up the strength in your physical body and then impose that on somebody
else
inflict pain and shame on them.
But
that,
you watch
to me,
those shows
is
all
not a way to handle any given situation.
But you watch those shows all the time.
Slam a door.
Shot your wife.
Because I'm fascinated.
Oh, no, we're door slammers. We're door slammers.
Oh, we're yellers and screamers and door slammers and all that. But I am taking out what I would want to take out. Like, but
you don't
you
go get
I'm
your gun and shoot her in the calf muscle. Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. It's just all about power. It's just all about imposing your will on somebody. And that kind of stuff just makes me nauseous and sick to my stomach.
It's not human. It's cannibal.
It's
human.
Like,
it's animalistic.
Like, it's just imposing your will on somebody. It's just very, I want it to be
it's
this
prey,
way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to scare you and put you in fear of pain and then give you pain in order that you do it as I want it to be. And you're going to act the way I want you to act. Fucking please. I did that. Okay. I've been there. It could be funny now, but fucking read More Like Wrestling. It's not a joke. The shit is fucked up. Excuse my language. It's not. It's horrifying.
You touch on abuse, and you put
women in that situation where you know they, in fear of being who they are and all that kind of stuff. That shit takes a long time to come out of, especially if it's habitual. It's just. It takes a long time to come out of stuff like that. And then even for the man, it's hard for me to have sympathy for a man. I'm not even talking about Chris Brown. I'm talking about men in general.
No, of course. Men who still don't know all the facts.
Men who do, yeah, we don't. But men who do that kind of stuff habitually, if they are even the type of man that has any type of soul and they come to terms later in life with the ways maybe that they have acted, the shame that the men that I know that are in those situations, mm-hmm. the shame that they have,
doesn't end well.
It never ends well. It can overtake them.
Yeah.
If they're wise enough to just kind of be introspective stuff,
it's empty.
Nobody wins, and it's just everybody loses. It's bad, and don't even get me started on taking out stuff like that on a child. But you know,
can we talk one more aspect of it? Then there's all the speculation, and I think you can speak to this more because you know of your life. This whole idea of what you know is Rihanna reacting in a way like fuck him, I'll never see him again, or I forgive him and want to get back with him, because a lot of times in those situations, you can say how horrific this is all day, but a lot of times there is still a lot of passion and love, and a lot of times between a couple, and a lot of times abusive couples do stay together. So there's all the speculation on, you know, will Rihanna get back with Chris Brown? Is she really cooperating with authorities? Is she going to not cooperate with authorities? You know, maybe speak a little about that.
Yeah, no, I can't. I don't want to speculate on their relationship. Just because, you know, I'm at work on that right now. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't really speculate.
Okay. Well, here we go.
Can we there do one go. Name that tune before we leave, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
And by the way, I just want to say too a shout out to Rihanna. I hope she's I hope she's doing all right. And not for nothing. I hope she's doing all right.
No. Definitely. We all wish her
best. Based on
those
shots, it looks like it's pretty. It looks like it's pretty rough out here. Okay, let me see if you can.
That's to Rihanna.
Let me see if you can name this tune, babe. Because
am I naming it? I could see it from here. As you're showing me.
Oh, okay,
this is how I got you Spanish class when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, please.
Como se llamo? Yes, I see. LLAMO.
Are you ready?
When did name that tune become a hood?
I'm calling audibles, babe. Ride, please just ride for a change.
If you protest this, the way this podcast went because Daniel was in charge.
What's the name of the song?
That's Jay-Z Ain't I.
Okay.
Well, Timbaland, it was unreleased. You like that song now?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Jay, I don't though.
Oh, you're really doing you're really doing name that too?
Yeah, I'm doing name that too.
Oh, God. What year is this?
I'm just saying.
Go, if you're listening with your grandpa, go in there and ask him what name that tune is. Seriously? Wow. These kids don't know what name that tune is.
These are subtle digs to my age, man. I'm a little disappointed.
Are they
babe.
Subtle? The subtlety of a sledgehammer? No, that's right.
I'm a little disappointed, babe.
All right, give me another one.
All right, see, now you like the game, though. See,
but, I do know. I know the thousand songs
babe,
I put
but
in your
you
playlist,
may not
though.
Know it just by the first few beats.
All right, how many of these are we going to do, babe?
I don't know. We're going to do 76. Because
I have
how
to
about
go.
That? We're going to do 76.
Shout out to Best of Both Offices. I'm on the way. If I'm late, this is why.
Are you ready?
Yes. Freeway, when you hear the... Something off the last album.
What's the name of
Freeway,
it?
Freeway. When you hear the bells.
No. What's the name of the song?
By Freeway. When you hear the something, right? It's not called
when
that?
When I remember.
Same thing. When you hear the when I remember.
When they remember. Okay, ready?
When
okay,
they remember. Yeah. When you hear the.
That's just too easy.
I'll be there. Whatever you call me, I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll get around.
Wait.
I get around
Elliot,
Spinners.
Please.
I'll be around Spinners.
Elliot, please. Say something while I'm trying to find a song.
Say something while you're trying to find a song.
Okay, just two more. Just two more. Elliot, keep it talking now.
Silence.
Elliot, please. Okay, here we go. All right, this is going to be a tough one
silence.
For you. You ready? You're not going to get this one.
What
you
am
ready?
I referencing here? You don't know.
Wait a minute.
The sound.
First
the
of
silence.
All,
what?
You're just going to assume I don't know?
Well, you've already said you hate Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique album, so that's all. It's an inside joke between me and Sam. It's one of our faves.
You and Sam have inside jokes away from me now?
Come on.
You want me to start getting tough on the podcast? Because I can get tough right now,
babe.
You've
been
Let's
tough
go.
The whole podcast.
I'm about to get tough.
You're hanging tough like New Kids on the Block? You've been tough.
I'm so rough and so tough with my Afro Puffs, babe. That's what I am. Let's go. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that.
Come on, babe.
I don't know it. You want to try it again? Give me a little more.
Here it is.
Ciara? I don't know. Who is it? Should you give me a little more? Is it a hit? It's not a hit.
Oh, you only know hits now? I thought you were the personal encyclopedia of rap. What's going on, babe? You only know
hits
now?
That don't sound like rap. It's a little R&B, man. That's a little hip-hop soul right there. Lil Wayne?
No, babe. That is Digital Girl featuring The Dream, known from Jamie Foxx, babe.
Oh, I don't know that. That's funny. Whose album is it on? Jamie Foxx's?
Yeah, that I don't know, babe. Oh. You know, I don't know about albums.
Oh, it's on Jamie's album.
Okay, here's one. Let's see if you know this one. We're almost done now, ladies and gentlemen. You ready, Al? You ready?
Yes. AC/DC, Back in Black. That'll try again. What? It's like, give me a
you ready? Second. You ready? Yeah.
Pearl Jam, Jeremy.
Yes, that's good, yes, right? Yes, yes.
You like that?
Yeah. Come on, babe.
I don't like the song though.
How can you not like
Jeremy's
it?
Jeremy's boy.
I just got here a little bit.
That hurt.
And then we can go out.
Going out to the sounds of Eddie Vedder.
Don't really do long intros like that.
It's rock not the and rock roll radio rap edit.
Jesus. How come, man, has anybody ever sampled this?
Nah. That'd probably be hard to clear like Samson.
That's all I have for you, babe.
No, go to the hook. I want to hear these boys. Oh, the video's like some real extra shit, right?
Yeah, they're in the schoolyard. They're like in the schoolyard in the classroom.
I didn't know this podcast was going to end with Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
We're almost there, babe. It's MTV all day.
What's he saying at the end there? Jeremy.
Who cares? Eddie Vedder's voice. Come on, babe. That was a fake voice.
That's like an abusive kid or something?
That was a nice fake
voice. Oh, Jason Crush? It all comes back together. It's outro music.
Nobody can bump Kevin Garnett, babe. Nobody can bump Kevin Garnett.
You don't even like Garnett the way you like that. You don't follow him. His knee hurts. You don't
care. And he got his championship, babe. He got a championship now, babe. He's high on the list,
babe. You don't care.
Oh, shout out to KG. Get that knee right. A little ice, baby. A little ice. A little ice and a little icy hot on there after when you're done, babe. You'll be fine.
All right, we'll be back next week, right, babe? The 9 is coming. I got my 9.
Okay, can we play that song on that day?
Next week.
We can play that. Okay,
that's
back.
The Ace Horrible Who Kiss song.
All right, have fun at your Hurt interview, babe.
All right, peace.
Bye.